verse number 42 in Acts chapter 2. Here's what we have learned so far in the book of Acts. We saw the disciples waiting there in the city of Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. The Bible tells us they obeyed Jesus and they waited. Remember, there was a new disciple that was added to that group of disciples as they chose that disciple, Matthias. And then also, we got to chapter 2 and we saw that the Holy Spirit did come, empowered them in great and mighty ways to be able to speak in languages that they had not even learned so that they could share the gospel with others. And then Peter got up and he started preaching. And we went over his message the last two Sunday nights. And then when we drew our message last Sunday night to a close, we got to verse number 41 and we saw the results of that message. And then we're going to pick up with verse 42. But let's notice the results of that message one more time in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, the Bible says, were baptized. Remember, Peter is encouraging them to come, to trust Christ as Savior. It says, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So what a great harvest of souls that took place at the first sermon that was preached there and the building and the growing of the early church here. As souls were saved, when they received the Word of God, they gladly received it. Nobody had to beg them or urge them to receive the gospel. They gladly received it. And then they were baptized. They followed the Lord in that step of obedience. And then they were added to the church. 3,000 souls. Again, what a great day. We think about that event that took place there, the day of Pentecost, and God using them in great power and for His honor and for His glory. Then we move to verse 42. And tonight we'll concentrate on verse 42 down to verse number 47, and we'll finish this chapter. To start off our message tonight, I want to concentrate on a word that we see in verse number 42. Then, when we get done talking about that word for just a few moments, I want to talk to you about some attributes of the early church that we see in verse 42 down to verse number 47. So we're going to mention several attributes of the local church. And here's what I want us to concentrate on tonight. Okay, this is what I want us to see. I want us to notice that these attributes that we see here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through verse 47 are attributes that ought to be true of our church today. They ought to be true of the local church today. And so when we're looking at these, it's not like we're looking at something that should not be happening today. These are attributes of the early church that should be a part of Victory Baptist Church today and local churches around the world today. And so let's concentrate on those attributes that way. Concentrating on maybe perhaps ways that we can fulfill what we need to fulfill as the member of the church to make sure that these attributes are true of our church as we get into these. But look at a key word here in verse number 42 that is so important as we start off. The third word of the verse, notice this, and they continued. They continued. They didn't fall away. Remember, they got saved. They got baptized. They were added to the church. And the Bible tells us they continued. The disciples continued. The apostles continued. Those that were a part of the church continuing to see God use this early church, this local church, in a great and a mighty way. So they continued. And then look at the next word. They continued steadfastly. Now, before we get to the attributes of the local church that I think we start seeing right there in verse number 42, just for a moment, let's concentrate on that word continued. They continued steadfastly. There is tremendous value in a Christian who is steadfast. A Christian who you would just say they've just continued. They have been steadfast and they have not fallen away and they've been faithful and they've been reliable, and you can count on them. There is tremendous value in being steadfast and serving and ministering faithfully for an extended period of time. We can think in our ministry here, or maybe other churches, maybe perhaps in the past that you've been a part of. You can, in your own heart and mind, think of individuals who may have started well, but they did not finish well. And perhaps even at this point in their Christian life, they did not remain committed. They did not continue. They weren't steadfast like God desired. I'll give you some illustrations. May have started teaching a Sunday school class, but now that's not a desire on their heart. May have started working on a bus route. May have started helping around the church in some way, in some opportunity or some ministry or some service that the Lord had for them, But now they've fallen away. And they started well, but they did not continue. And they weren't steadfast in the service of the Lord. My life verse, what has become my life verse throughout many years now, I'd say it has really been my life verse, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's value. There's something to be said about individuals that continue steadfast in the service of the Lord, in ministering for an extended period of time, and they just do not quit, and they stay faithful at it again, and they are reliable. Think about those two words here in verse number 42 as we describe those that were in the early church. It says they continued steadfastly. What did this display in their life? Here's what I believe it displayed. It displayed the genuineness of their faith. When they trusted Christ as their Savior, and then they followed the Lord in that step of obedience in baptism, and then they were added to the church and the apostles. Obviously, the power that the Holy Spirit had given to these apostles and these disciples, the genuineness of their faith, that they would trust the Lord and then continue steadfastly in their service and their ministry for Him. And by the way, it doesn't just help us to understand the genuineness or see the genuineness of their faith. It also helps us to understand why they had so much power. Why God gave them so much power? Because they continued steadfastly. They remained faithful to what God had for them to do. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible. Hold your place there in Acts 2, because we're coming right back. But turn to John chapter 8, and let's notice something that is said from the words of Jesus in John 8. And look down, once you found John 8, at verse number 31. We're going to see a characteristic here that Jesus tells us is true of those that are His disciples. Look at this in verse 31. It said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye, now remember the word we're concentrating on. Remember we said they continued steadfastly. Notice what it says in verse 31. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you follow, if you're faithful, if you stay steadfast and continue in those things, He said that is a wonderful sign to those that are around you that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives a wonderful picture of the genuineness of your heart and your faith that you have put in the Lord. So the characteristic of a true disciple is that they will continue. May it be said of us that we are not, and again, another great character trait of the church today. May it be said of us that we are never at the point in our Christian life where we are coasting on what we used to be or what we used to do for the Lord, but instead to say, this is what I'm still doing for the Lord. I'm still faithful at it. In my place of service, in my place of ministry, I am continuing steadfastly. There's something, again, to be said about a Christian who year after year just stays faithful in the service of the Lord. There's something to be said about a Christian who month after month and week after week and day after day just remains faithful and continues steadfastly in the service and the ministry that God has put them in. So my encouragement tonight is this, just stay at it. Just stay at it. You've heard the statement before, we may not be able to do what everyone else can do in the local church, but every one of us can be faithful at what God has called us to do. So let's just continue steadfastly in what God wants us to do, and let's just stay at it. But now, let's notice some attributes of the early church that I think we see from verse 42 down to verse number 47. Notice this in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. Now notice this, in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. Now, these are the attributes of the early church. Number one, the first attribute I want you to see that I think we clearly see there in verse number 42 is that they were a learning church. They were a learning church. They desired to learn. As a matter of fact, we see that word doctrine there in the apostles' doctrine. What is doctrine? When we use that word doctrine, it's really just a set of teachings or a set of beliefs. So when we say these are the doctrines that we believe, or these are the doctrines that we hold to be true, well, what is that? That's just a set of teachings that we learn from the Word of God, or a set of beliefs that we have. Can I say this? Doctrine in the early church was a priority. There was the priority of learning the set of teachings and the set of beliefs that would be the doctrines of the early church. There was a priority in that. And there ought to be a priority in that when it comes to the local church here. Look with me, if you would, down at verse 42 again. There's a word that's used there. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You say, well, what is the apostles' doctrine? Well, really, that's just the way of saying, in verse 42, it's just the way of saying the Word of God. The Word of God, the truths that they had been given from the Word of God. Look with me, if you would, if you'd hold your place there in Acts, because again, we'll come right back. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's notice the truth of what we just said about the apostles' doctrine being really just the truths or the teachings or the beliefs from the Word of God. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and down in verse number 13, it says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, now notice, what did they receive? Okay, let's pause for a moment. What did they receive? Well, they received the Word of God. Who did they hear the Word of God from? Well, notice the next part of the verse, which ye heard of us. So Paul said, this is what we've been preaching. We've been preaching the Word of God. You heard the Word of God and you received the Word of God. Now notice what's said next. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, notice the next four words, the Word of God. Now, we'll pause there for just a moment and we'll read the end of that verse in just a moment. Well, what is Paul saying there to the church of Thessalonica? He's saying these doctrines that we are teaching you are not just the words of men. See, my opinion doesn't really matter at all, does it? What I would say I believe doesn't really matter at all unless it lines up with the Word of God. So it's not about our opinions. It's not about the words of men. It's the words of God, isn't it? So they are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is that? Well, that's the Word of God. That's the teachings that we have from the Word of God, the beliefs that we have that God has given to us through His Word. Now, notice what happened when they heard the word, when they received the Word of God, because they had heard it, and it was the Word of God and not men. Notice that what happened at the end of the verse, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So what's that saying there at the end of verse number 13? That there's power in the Word of God, isn't there? The Word of God effectually worketh in the hearts of those that believe. There is power in the Word of God. So they were a learning church. Now, can I say today at Victory Baptist Church here, at this local church, we are to give attention to the doctrines of the Word of God. The doctrines of the Word of God is what we should be teaching. We should be teaching and preaching through the Word of God. In my class this morning that I met folks with that are in our Starting Point class, one of the things that I told them is one of the purposes of our church, the reason why we're here. Matter of fact, it's the central purpose of our church. And I told him is this, to preach the Word. That's why we meet together, right? For the purpose of preaching and teaching the Word of God. There is nothing as important as preaching and teaching the Word of God. It is, the central purpose of why we're here. We come to church for the purpose of teaching and preaching the Word of God. And then as it is preached and as it is taught, we learn from it, don't we? So we ought to be about the business in the local church of giving attention to the doctrines of the Word of God and preaching and teaching them. Let's notice real quick 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, some verses that you may want to be mindful of as we're looking through the book of Acts. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's notice what is said in verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, it says this, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and notice the last one, to doctrine. Give attendance, or give attention to doctrine, he says. So the teaching and the preaching of the doctrines of the Word of God ought to be the central purpose of what we do here at Victory Baptist Church. We're going to teach and we're going to preach the Word of God. Now, if you as a member of our church, or if you as a child of God, desire to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, and you desire to learn doctrine from the Word of God, guess what? That's a pretty good sign that you're going to continue steadfastly. We want to continue steadfastly, don't we? What is a great attribute of this local church? They were a learning church. But then number two, notice another attribute of the early church. Look at verse 42 again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Number two, they were a fellowshipping church. It is our duty as believers to encourage one another towards holiness, and that's one of the things that takes place when we fellowship with one another. We are encouraging one another towards holiness. Fellowship that takes place here is not fellowship like we would say, or even conversations that take place here are not the same conversations that would take place when we're out in the world, are they? There's something sweet about fellowship with Christians, isn't there? There's something special about that, isn't there? God says they were a fellowshipping church. One of the duties that we have as believers is to encourage one another towards holiness. And we do that when we fellowship with one another, encouraging one another towards holiness. Notice back to the word there in verse number 42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That word fellowship there in verse number 42 has a special meaning. It has the idea of partnership or sharing. Sharing or partnership. We are working together in unity for the cause of Christ. That's one of the great blessings of fellowshipping. We're sharing with one another. We're partnering with one another so that we can encourage one another. How many of you have ever walked away from a time of fellowshipping with a Christian and you just say, I walked away encouraged. I walked away encouraged. We were partnering with one another, pushing each other to do that which the Lord would have us to do. We were sharing blessings and encouragement with one another, and it helped to encourage us and push us closer to the things of the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about how that iron sharpens iron, right? So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There's something special about having times of fellowship where we can come together and encourage one another. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And look down at verse 5 and verse 6. And while I'm reading these verses, would you concentrate, while I'm reading them, would you concentrate on what I just said about fellowship? That fellowship is partnership or sharing or pushing each other towards holiness as we fellowship one with another. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 5. It says this, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. Now when we have fellowship with one another, we would say we are having fellowship. Matter of fact, sometimes we even word it this way. You probably caught yourself even wording it this way. You'd say, I'm fellowshipping with somebody who is like-minded. Have you ever caught yourself saying it that way? The reason why we say it that way is because it's found right here in Scripture. We would say we're fellowshipping with somebody who is like-minded. When I have a conversation with you, when I'm fellowshipping with you, we are like-minded in Christ, aren't we? So we're partnering one with another. We are sharing one with another so that we can encourage one another. That's why I always say church services are so special. They're so important. But fellowship is important as well. As we, again, partner with one another, we share with one another what God has done in our hearts so that we can encourage one another and push people towards holiness. So it says that we are like-minded, look at verse 5 there, that He would grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ye with one mind and one mouth. Now, how is it possible, if we're fellowshipping, to have just one mind and one mouth? Because we're in unity, aren't we? We are like-minded. Our minds are on the same thing, aren't they? We're partnering one with another to encourage each other. This was a fellowshipping church. Can I say this? After we've read Romans chapter 15 and verse number 5 and verse number 6, it stands to say this, or to give you this thought tonight, that every obedient Christian, if we're desiring to be an obedient Christian, every obedient Christian is or ought to be an active participant in the local church. That's the, again, times where we have fellowship with one another and we are partnering with one another, serving the Lord together in fellowship, like-minded. Consider with me tonight as we actively participate in the local church. You say, well, how do I actively participate in the local church? Again, through fellowship. We actively participate through giving. We actively participate through serving the Lord. We actively participate in the services of the Lord. You've already participated in the church tonight just through your singing tonight. For some of us tonight, our giving, we were able to participate in the service. We're going to get to participate in the service afterwards, or at least in worship for the Lord when we have fellowship even after the service tonight. Just again, the partnership, the sharing with one another to encourage each other. We ought to be obedient in these things. Here's another way that we can participate and we can be active in our participation is just simply being faithful. Being faithful to what God would have for us to do and being faithful in our attendance in the services. Every obedient Christian ought to be active when it comes to participating in the local church. And one of the ways that we do that is through times of fellowship one with another. This was a fellowshipping church. So it was a learning church. It was a fellowshipping church. Would you notice back with me in Acts chapter 2, notice down at verse number 42 again, it says this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now notice the third one. And in breaking of bread, which by the way, we're going to come back to that in a moment. And in prayers. Number three, they were a praying church. They were a praying church. They eagerly participated in prayer. They eagerly and anticipated the opportunities they would have to pray. They were a praying church. Can I say this? The attribute of Victory Baptist Church ought to be that we are a praying church. One of the character traits of this local church should be that we are a praying church. We are a people that prays. So what are all the different, what are the different avenues that we could say would apply to the prayer times that we have? Well, we pray individually, don't we? So we have individual prayer times. We need to be a praying church individually. We need to be a praying church corporately. By the way, that's one of the blessings of the Wednesday night service. And so that's why you always hear me encouraging you to be a part of all of our services. Because the Wednesday night service is a time to have corporate prayer. We get to pray as a church family with one another. That is special, isn't it? So we have individual prayer times. We have corporate prayer times. But then we ought to be consistent in our prayer as well. We ought to be consistent in our prayer times. We ought to be praying as families together, right? Having a family altar time where we're praying as our families as well. And then spending time in prayer when God gives opportunity or when the church has opportunities that are given. For instance, just yesterday morning, we had our men's prayer breakfast. Man, it was special to be able to have that time. And it was just a short time, but it was special to be able to have that short time with the men of our church. That opportunity was given. That opportunity was presented. We need to take advantage of opportunities like that so that we can be known as a praying church. Now notice the next verse, verse number 43. I want you to notice this about the church. And fear came upon every soul. That word fear, I want you to notice another attribute of the local church. They were a reverent church. They were a reverent church. God desires that His church be a reverent church. Notice a word that's used here in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. You say, well, what does that word fear have the idea of somebody becoming afraid? No, that's not what that word fear means at all. That word fear there in verse number 43 has the idea of sensing a divine presence. You're fearful, or there's fear Because you sense a divine presence. Oh, in the local church, there ought to be a divine presence. The presence of God. He's here with us, isn't he? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Enough reverence to know that God is meeting with us here. Enough reverence to know that this is his house. So because it's his house, we're going to respect him. Because it's his house, we're going to give him our best while we're here. We're going to find a place where we can serve him while we're here. Because it's God's house, we're going to be faithful to God's house. So there was a reverence in the early church. God, notice the next part of this verse. God had a purpose in something that was happening in the local church. Look at verse 43, if you would, the end of the verse. It says, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now there's great fear because again, they're sensing a divine presence. And the Bible says many wonders and many signs, many miracles were being done by the apostles. God had a purpose in those miracles that were being performed by the apostles. It wasn't just a mistake that they had the power to have signs and wonders and perform these special miracles. Now again, it's only because God gave them the power, but it wasn't by mistake. God had a purpose in all of this. As a matter of fact, I think we see that a little bit later in the New Testament of our Bible. I'm going to have you look at Hebrews chapter 2. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I think we see the purpose that God had in what the apostles did. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. Look down, if you would, at verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. It says this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Okay, so let's pause there for a moment. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? It was spoken by the Lord. Well, there was a time when the Lord was here on earth, wasn't there? He was here in a physical body as God. He was here on earth. And so he spoke about salvation. He spoke about the gospel. He urged and encouraged people to come to know him and put their trust and their faith in him. Great miracles were performed. Great teaching and preaching took place. But notice there was a time in which the Lord left, didn't he? Notice what it says at the end of verse number 3 there. Again, back to the start. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So there were those that heard him while he was here on earth. As a matter of fact, he had the group of 12 that were close by during his entire earthly ministry, right? They certainly would have heard him. They certainly would have saw him perform miracles. And now notice verse number 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now we'll pause just a minute there. Notice this. God bears witness of the truth of the gospel by these signs and wonders that were being done by these apostles and even the divers miracles and even the gifts of the Holy Ghost that he had given them. Matter of fact, we already read about the gifts of the Holy Ghost, didn't we? The power that God gave them to be able to speak in languages that they had never even learned, all for the purpose of the gospel of Christ being evident in the work of these men so that people could come to know Christ. So God had a purpose in all of these many miracles and wonders and signs that were being done in the early church. And then notice what he says at the end of verse number 4, according to his own will, meaning this, God chose that those men would be able to perform those signs and miracles and wonders. It wasn't something they just did on their own. God chose that they would do it, and he gave them the power to do it. So there was a purpose in why these miracles were taking place. And the Bible says because of all this, great fear was falling on the church. Why? Because they had reverence for Almighty God. They sensed that there was a divine presence. Something special was going on in the early church, and it wasn't anything that they were able to do on their own. It was all because of the power and the working of God in their lives and through their lives. Wouldn't we want that to be said of Victory Baptist Church? That there are special things that are taking place here and it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. It's all to the honor and the glory of God. He is working in a great and mighty way. Great things are being done. Wouldn't we want to be able to say that about Victory Baptist Church? Hey, down at that church, great things are being done. All to the honor and the glory of the Lord. They were a reverent church. And now we'll finish quickly. Notice with me, if you would, verse 44 and verse number 45. It says this, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." Number five, I want you to notice they were a sharing church. They were a sharing church. As needs would arise, they were willing to sell what they had in order to meet the needs of the other believers. So if there was somebody that they saw had a need, they said, "Well, I'm willing to sell what I have so that another believer's needs could be met." You know, the Bible specifically says that in the book of Galatians, doesn't it? Chapter 6 and verse number 2. It says this, that we are to bear one another's burdens. At times, there are individuals that have burdens that they might not be able to meet on their own, but we can come along as God's people in unity and we can help. We can bear the burdens of others. I believe it was Amy Carmichael that said the statement. I believe it was her that said it. She said the statement, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." You think of the love that we are able to show for others as we are willing to give. Think about the local church, how they were willing to share. When someone else had a need, they took what they had to be able to meet the needs of others. We want to be a sharing church. We want to be a giving church. And by the way, God blesses that, doesn't He? God honors that. When we were able to take a Bible time offering and send $1,500 to Brother Arnold, God blesses that, doesn't He? A giving church that sees the need of somebody else and does what they can to meet that need. And then notice number 6, look at verse 46. It says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Number 6, I want you to notice they were a worshiping church. They were a worshiping church. Part of their worship was the breaking of bread. We got to do that this morning, didn't we? We got to partake of the Lord's table. We talked about all the things all the truths that we saw from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning that are true of partaking of the Lord's table. It is a special time, isn't it? Not something we ought to just take lightly or take casually or something we ought to say is just routine and so it's lost its meaning. No, it's a time of remembrance, isn't it? And that was one of the ways they worshiped the Lord, by breaking bread or partaking of the Lord's table. And then notice how often they did these things. Notice this, verse 46. Notice this, and they continuing, what's the next word? Daily. They worshiped the Lord daily. And then notice the places they worshiped the Lord. The Bible tells us they worshiped the Lord in the temple, and then they were worshiping the Lord from house to house. And then notice one more truth about their worship for the Lord. Not only was it daily, not only was it in different places in the temple, in the house of the Lord, from house to house, but notice the condition of their heart while they're worshiping the Lord. Notice this. It said, "Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Those words, singleness of heart, have the idea of their sincerity there. Their sincerity. Hey, can I say this? At Victory Baptist Church, there ought to be sincerity when we worship the Lord. We ought to be sincere about it. And then we ought to have humility. It's not about selfishness of us getting the honor and the glory, but we're humble enough to know that God gets the honor. God gets the glory. God gets the praise. They come to Him with a satisfied heart. They come to Him with a thankful heart. They're worshiping the Lord with singleness of heart. And then three other things I want to share with you real quickly in verse 47 that I think we see. Notice verse 47. I'm sorry, the end of verse 46, it says this, "With gladness." With gladness. I want you to notice number 7, they're a happy church. They're a happy church. Hey, let's be a happy church. Let's have joy in our hearts as we serve the Lord. Let others come into this building knowing that those folks have joy in their heart. Man, they're serving the Lord and they're not miserable while they're doing it. Man, they are happy. And there's gladness in their heart when they're serving the Lord. I go back to what the psalmist said. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Oh, don't come into God's house miserable. Don't come into God's house with a sad face and a long face. Let's come into God's house with joy in our hearts. We get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's serve Him with joy and gladness in our hearts. Then notice verse 47. It says this, praising God. They were a praising church. They were a praising church. They exalted the Lord. The Bible says it's a good thing. It's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. It's a good thing. Oh, let's be a praising church. Remember, I said that just a moment ago that this was going to be part of the message tonight. Let's learn to praise the Lord. Let's thank Him for all of His goodness to us. God's good all the time, isn't He? And even in the valleys of life, God is still good. We've got a good God, don't we? And so let's praise Him. Hey, when you hear a report of a soul that gets saved, let's praise the Lord. Let's not get over, and let's not lose the excitement when somebody gets saved. When we hear a report of a child that gets saved, or a teenager, or an adult that gets saved, whether it be right here in the building or out on our visitation program, let's praise the Lord. Let's be a church that gives praise to God. And then the last thought tonight is this. Look at verse 47 at the end. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want you to notice they're a growing church. They're a growing church. Oh, we want to be a growing church, don't we? We want to see God grow us. By the way, that doesn't necessarily always have to be numbers. It's about growing spiritually too, isn't it? It's growing closer to the Lord so that we're more like Him every day. So we want to be a growing church. We do want to grow in number as well. We want to see folks saved. We want to see folks baptized. We want to see folks added to the church. But growing spiritually and growing in number as well. As we are faithful to the Lord and go out to do what God would have us to do so that we could see the church grow. Listen, one of the encouragements I try to give to you often is this. Let's not be the type of church that's just waiting for people to come here. Let's go to where they are. And let's try to reach them where they are at. So for the honor and the glory of the Lord, we could see them saved and we could see them coming to our church. Let's go to where they're at and reach people so that we can see our church growing for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Father, I thank You for this local church. Lord, I thank You for the early church. And Lord, the attributes that we have seen tonight in the early church. And Lord, I pray that these would be